cutting off hoes when the ball drop. Ride with my woes till the casket drop. Quiet for you suckers, hair pin drop. I buy this motherfucker like the price drop. Shorty back it up, let the ass drop. Mommy killing them, tat a teardrop. Bitch, I'm on fire, need to stop, drop. Nigga, this the flow that got your artist drop. Heard he was a rat, heard he dime drop. Hit him in the head, watch the body drop. Dollars coming down like raindrops. New year, new money, nigga, ball drop. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
What's up? What's up? What's good with it, everybody? Judging by the intro, man, y'all can tell we are ready to welcome in the new year, man. We ready to end off 2020. This shit has been, it's been a year that we can't even explain. But nevertheless, we back again for another episode. Sam, what's up?
What's up, world? Y'all know I ain't liking this Steph slander.
Let's jump right into it then, man. That's basically the first joint that I wanted to talk about anyway, man. It's been a whole bunch of Steph slander going on. People have been disrespecting Steph like I've never seen a player of his magnitude be disrespected. So let's just jump right into it, man. Is the slander valid? Like, is there any validity to the shit that they are saying about Steph? Like, I want to hear from you, a Steph Curry guy. How are you feeling about all this shit that's going on with Steph?
I will say that this was supposed to be a year that I thought that we would finally get to judge Steph like how everybody wants to judge Steph. I thought that this would be the year. Even after Klay got hurt, I thought that this would be a time when we could really see. But after I watched that Nets game and I saw what he was going to be out there on the floor with this year, I realized that there's really just not going to be much you can take away from this season. I mean, he's the only playmaker on the team when Draymond's hurt. He's the only shooter. He's the only scorer. I mean, he's literally facing a trap, not just a little soft double to get it out of his hands, but a full-blown trap at half court every time down the floor. And yes, other superstars do face double teams. I don't want to act like he's the first superstar to get doubled, but he is one of the first superstars to have to face that double team and not have an option to throw that bitch to once he gets doubled. Like, once if you make Steph give up the ball, you have already won that defensive possession. There's nobody to get it back to him. There's nobody to set him screens to get him open. There's nobody else that you would respect as a defense to even guard. Like, last night, the Bulls were helping off the strong side corner. Like,
for those who don't have much basketball IQ or don't understand that type of talk, that is a sin. In basketball, that's a giveaway bucket, basically. You're giving the team exactly what they want off of a double team. That's what you don't want to do.
And they're doubling, they're running a guy at Steph from the strong side corner to where that corner three, that's supposed to be automatic in the NBA if you help off the strong side. And you're even able to do that against these Warriors. I mean, there's only so much you're going to be able to expect a guy like Steph to do. Even last night, he had 36 points, and if you watch the highlights, the whole highlight reel was him scoring over two people. He having to score over two and three guys every time. And, I mean, he's not a LeBron James, a 6'9", 250 guy who can, even though he's facing a double team all night, he's going to eventually wear those guys down type of dude. He's 6'3", buck 80, great jump shooter. So, I mean, if you ain't got nobody on his team that you have to even – like, I'm not saying that he needs another all-star or no shit like that. I'm just saying, like, there's literally – there's not even a Marco Bellinelli out there to where, like, okay, yeah, this guy is only a 70 overall, but we leave him open, he's going to hit this three. Like, we don't even have a guy like that. Like, it's just hard. Like, I mean, it's just different, man.
So what about guys like a Dame Lillard, per se, in games where he didn't even have C.J. McCollum playing – and he saw double teams, he was still able to get shit rocking. So I'm seeing a lot of people talk about that. What's your take on that? Do you think that that has, I don't know, do you think that, I've seen a lot of people do that Steph and Dame comparison, and people were saying, shit, there's been games when CJ McCollum hasn't played and Dame's still been out there getting his rocks off. Steph can't do that. Like, do you think that that's fair in saying?
No, because do you see a Nurkic out there or anybody? Like, I mean, I'm just being honest, man. I mean, now if Wiggins and Oubre were hitting shots and being who we thought they were going to be going into this year, I mean, I know it's in these first three games, if Oubre and Wiggins had been who we thought they were going to be for this team, like 18, 19 a game, then maybe we can see a little bit more space for Steph to operate to where maybe we can see those type of things. But right now, like, they're not respecting anybody on that team. Like, literally nobody. There's nobody getting any defensive respect besides Steph Curry. All eyes are on him. Like, you just really got to watch the games, man. It's really – I haven't seen nothing like this out of against the NBA roster. Like, I earlier today I said the 05 Lakers, but that wasn't the right year. What was the – I think it was 06, 07 when y'all had Smush Parker. Is that right?
No, it was 05.
We all had Smush Parker and Sasha Vujicic and them. Like, this
05,
is literally
06, I believe.
This roster is kind of like that, to where, like, we don't respect any of these guys you play with. Yeah, they in the NBA, cool, but we don't. As a defense, we don't respect these guys. We don't think they could hurt us passing the ball. We don't think they could hurt us shooting the ball or scoring it. They just can't hurt us. So
are we going to have to see Steph do a whole bunch of game changing as far as being a more aggressive type of guy? Because we saw in instances like with Kobe, he had career numbers in years like that as far as scoring the ball. And with Steph being able to score the ball as well as he can and be able to handle the ball as well as we can, would it be unfair for us to expect him to have a large input as far as his scoring? Maybe not with his shot percentage, because obviously he's going to have to take some ill-advised shots, a whole hell of a lot of them. But is it unfair of us to expect him to average a lot of points this year?
I won't say it's unfair. I think that that's actually a logical expectation. But I think that in a guy like Steph Curry's position, I think that's going to take some time. I mean, he's been playing on the
How
contender.
Much more time? Nigga been in the league for years.
No, I don't mean like that kind of time. I mean like he's
like
been on the
contender. Throughout
the
season.
Yeah, he's been on the contender for 5 years. He hasn't had to play this style of basketball since probably fucking Davidson. Because, I mean, even the Warriors, when he first, as his rookie year before Klay even came, they weren't this bad. Like, they had guys out there that could score the ball, like, and do some things. So, like, it's been a while since a guy like a Steph Curry's had to play basketball to where, like, he's always been that guy. But, like, to where now he's the only guy. Like, it's just you, my nigga. Like, that's it. I'm going to, as a fan of Steph, I'm going to give him until the first of the year. And then I'm going to be looking for him to be putting in some major performances and getting back to being used to having to carry a lot of the load. Because right now he just looks like he just doesn't even remember how to take a bad shot. Like,
okay,
he's giving the ball up too early.
Yeah, yes, I have definitely noticed that.
But it's just that's what he's used to. He's used to being able to give it up, come off some screens, get it back. And this ain't the type of roster where he's going to be able to do that. He's going to have to be more of a traditional point guard and a guy that's going to dribble out a lot of the shot clock most of the time, for real. Like, he's going to have to do a lot of creating and a lot of scoring. And I think that this year it's going to be a long year, but I'm just looking for a couple 50-point performances.
So let me ask you this. I've seen as much slander as you have, and obviously to me a lot of it is ridiculous as well. But I think the biggest thing that I'm wondering is, was Steph's, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess, for lack of a better term, was his magnificent play a product of his teammates? Like, when we were seeing those MVP years and the shit that he was doing, was that all a product of his teammates? And I ask that from the standpoint of him playing with guys like a Klay, or him playing with guys like a Draymond, or him playing with guys like a JaVale, or other guys who basically had to do a whole hell of a lot of stuff to where Steph didn't have to do nothing but run off screens, catch the ball, shoot. That was literally all that was, I guess, asked of him for the most part. Obviously, there's more. It's the NBA. But for the most part, that's what was asked of Steph. So were we a little brainwashed into thinking that he was something that he's not because of his teammates? And now that his teammates are gone, are we really starting to see who Steph Curry is? Or is this just an anomaly? Do you think that, like you said, by the first of the year or however long it takes, we'll start to see, okay, he's really who we think he is? Like, do you, like, non-biased, do you really believe that Steph Curry is exactly who we think he is?
100%. I mean, you can't take away the fact that Andrew Bogut or a Draymond Green or a Klay Thompson complimented Steph Curry to a T. You can't take that away. That's a fact. I mean, like, out of all the years that Steph was in Golden State, his best pick and roll partner was Andrew Bogut. I hate it when we got rid of Andrew Bogut because, like, he did a lot.
Yeah, he was phenomenal at the pick and roll.
But that's not an indictment on Steph. That's basketball. Like, your teammates are supposed to compliment you in that way. It's not Steph's fault that his general managers found guys who literally complimented his game so well that we almost didn't even realize that they were complimenting him. Well, some people didn't realize that they were. But, I mean, I still believe that he is who we thought he was just because, I mean, his numbers tell us that. I mean, even before the contention, his numbers, I mean, they I don't know, they tell the story to me. I personally feel like by the middle of this season, we're going to see Steph get more comfortable, get back comfortable with this type of role and be fine. It's just been a fucking long time since he's had to do it. And especially to have to do it at this level too. Like, we're not just talking about, like, all right, Klay hurt, but you still got like Sean Livingston and those guys where, like, you got the chemistry. Like, that's another thing people not talking about. When Draymond hurt, there's nobody on this team Steph's ever even played with. Like, they're literally, the whole squad is brand new. There's not a single player playing right now. I mean, unless you count Wiggins from the five games Steph played last year.
And Kent Bazemore.
Yeah, like, he's never played. Bazemore didn't get no burn with us when he was with us. So
he ain't get no burn down either.
So, I mean, it's like, it's just a whole, it's a different situation. And I know guys are itching to push that narrative that Steph's not who we thought. But it's not time for that, Jay. I'm not going to tell you that you can't do it at all this year, because if he does this the whole season and shoot this bad all year, and I'm going to be right there with y'all talking shit. But I just feel like it's a little premature right now. It's just way too premature. I mean, the guys, he hasn't played this style of basketball in a very long time. This is like the same as almost like when LeBron went to the Lakers after coming from the finals. Like, we were saying
he
a
hasn't
lot of,
had to carry a team in a long time. And go ahead.
We were saying a lot of things about LeBron that was uncharacteristic of LeBron. Like, we was watching him give up on games and stuff like that. It's just
– turn the ball over.
When you play winning basketball for so long and then you get thrown into losing basketball, like, not even gradually, just finals this year and then the next season, you ass. Like, that's a tough transition to go from. And playing winning basketball and playing losing basketball is like night and day. Like, it's just different. And I think that Steph's struggling with that right now. You can tell that he's not used to it by how early he's given up the ball and stuff like that. But I did see a lot of things yesterday that made me happy against the Bulls.
I think that there's also a huge takeaway that I don't feel like people are really discussing. We know the world we're living in right now with all of this COVID shit going on, and without people being able to, I guess, engage as much as they would. Also, along with that, you have to throw in the fact that Steph is coming off an injury as well. He didn't play at all last year. So you're asking him to jump right back into the game and be in complete basketball shape, to be knocking down threes. And not only is he playing a game that he hasn't played in years as far as being this sole person to do everything out there, he's also just trying to get back into the groove of shooting the ball competitively. It's one thing to be able to knock down a whole bunch of stand-up threes when you're shooting around. It's another thing to have to shoot the ball during games when you have been shooting the ball for years comfortably. Having to dribble the ball up the court, find your own shot, and still be able to give your team what they need as far as the other guys on the team. They've got to feel comfortable. They don't want to feel like, shit, Steph come down, he jacking every fucking time, every time he get the ball. You also got to make those guys feel comfortable as well. And I think that it's a very unfair situation that we've placed Steph Curry in. But I think what it is it's a product of where the NBA game has become now. We're so used to seeing these guards who are like a Damian Lillard or a Kyrie Irving who are score-first mentality guys, and that's where we're setting the standard now. We're expecting every point guard to play like that when every point guard is not that. Steph is not that type of guy. Steph is an efficient guy. He finds his shots when he's ready to take those shots. And the problem is, this year he doesn't have the luxury of doing that because he doesn't have anybody else to score. So that, to me, is the biggest thing as well. But before we get off Steph, is it, for one, I'm just going to get this out the way. Stop saying that Steph Curry is not a superstar. He's still a superstar. He's been a superstar for years. You don't win back-to-back MVPs without being a superstar, unless you're Steve Nash. But you don't put up, and Steve Nash arguably was a superstar as well. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. But even with that being said, like, I understand the slander, but I get it, but I don't get it. But like I said, before we get off Steph, I just want to ask, is Steph Curry, from your point of view, is Steph Curry the type of guy that is capable of carrying an NBA team on his own?
Like, what do we mean by carry? Like, to the playoffs or like
the finals? Not to the finals, because I think that would be extremely unfair. This is not the game. This is not the LeBron James Cleveland playing in a weak ass Eastern Conference. Like, the NBA now is much more balanced, for one, and for two, the days of one player carrying a team all the way to the championship is over. That hasn't happened in years. So we've got to get that notion out of there. As far as him being what they need to get to the next level, which I guess in their situation would be to the playoffs, since they haven't made it there. They didn't make it there last year. Is he capable of doing that with the current roster that they have, including obviously with Draymond coming back? Is he capable of carrying this team to the playoffs?
This current roster?
Yes.
I think that he's capable, but I think that a lot of it would have to do with everybody else. Because, to be honest with you, I think if Steph Curry averages 35 a game this year, I still don't think that that would be enough with what we're seeing right now. I don't think that would be enough to get them in the playoffs, bro. I just don't. And I think that
if he averages 35, you don't think they make the playoffs?
I don't know, bro.
They are for sure making the playoffs if Steph Curry averages 35. I'll go on record saying that. If he averages 35, they're going to the playoffs, bro. That means Steph is out here scoring damn near 40 every night. If he does that, they're making the playoffs. Like, that's not – they're making the playoffs, bro.
He gave me 36 last night, and – it took a buzzer beater three from Damian Lee to get the dub against the Chicago Bulls.
But it was not in a typical Steph Curry fashion, bro. Yeah, he was shooting over two people, but he was not in his mode. Like, we've seen Steph Curry when he is locked in, as he tweets. Last night, to me, that wasn't a locked in Steph Curry game. That was just a, fuck, I gotta go out here and I gotta make it competitive. I don't think he came in with the mindset of, I have to do this. I got to go for 35 or 40 tonight. Or I got to go. I got to get up such amount of shots tonight.
I don't think this is a playoff roster, bro. And my biggest issue with this roster is there's no guards. Where the fuck are the guards? Yeah,
that makes absolutely no sense to me at all. Kelly Oubre would have been cool, but once you saw Klay get hurt, I just don't think that that was necessarily the move to make in lieu of him getting injured. I feel like he would have been a great compliment if Klay was there. I don't.
They were thinking that he was just going to – they weren't thinking position-wise. I think they were thinking, like, long, lanky, athletic, and could hit the three.
But you got that in Wiggins already. Why do you need two of those guys? That's not going to benefit your roster at all.
Because what's the name got hurt?
Who?
Klay. When Klay goes down, you feel like you got to fill that void with somebody else. Don't think that Oubre was the best, but I also don't think that there was very much available, and they kind of panicked. I think we would have been better served just getting another point guard or two and letting Steph play the two.
For sure. For them to have done as good of a job as they've done in free agency and trades and all of that shit in the past years, I just can't imagine them being in a situation where they're in panic mode, that they feel like the only thing that we can do right now is go out and get Kelly Oubre. Because I think that in a situation when you lose a guy like Klay, you can't compensate for Klay's defense. You don't go out and get another guy that you think is going to be able to defend, because they're not going to be able to defend on the level of Klay. You go out and get a knockdown fucking shooter that's going to either help you hit more threes as you have been in the past, or like you said, go out and get another guard to where Steph can be more comfortable as he has been in these past years. You have to make a move one way or the other. Either you're going to let Steph play the one and have somebody else that can compensate for those threes that you're going to be missing, or you go out and get a point guard and let Steph play off the ball. But either way, you have to go in one of those two directions. With you having a guy like Draymond that plays defense, you going out and getting a guy in Wiseman who has shown that he's going to be a really good rim protector. You got Wiggins and a guy that's long, and he's not a menace on defense, but he's talented defensively. What kind of fucking sense does it make to go out and get another defender who is a streaky shooter? And when I say streaky, I mean fucking streaky as hell. That stat that he hasn't made a bucket that has not been a dunk is fucking ridiculous, bro.
Yeah,
like,
sad.
What type of shit is that?
It's another thing. They're playing on a team where there's so much help defense because they don't respect anybody out there. Like,
that's why it was so, like, you have to see this coming, though, as a GM, as anybody that's a higher up, you have to see this coming. Shit, Klay went down. We don't have anybody else to score the ball. Nobody. Like, you know you don't. You got Draymond coming back, but you know he's not going to score the ball. You have nobody else to score the ball. In your mind, the first thing you go to is, let me go out and get a defender. No, fuck no. I'm going out to get somebody that can put the ball in the bucket. They did it last year with fucking D'Angelo Russell. Perfect move. Yeah, they got rid of him, but at the time, they had the right state of mind. All right, we'll go out and get a combo guard. He can score the ball, and he can play the one. Steph can play off the ball sometimes. Steph can play with the ball sometimes. But this year, they went in a completely different direction. Like, think about it like this, bro. Let's say last year, replays this year. Klay does not play the entire year. Steph gets hurt again. Who the fuck is going to handle the ball, for one, and who's going to score the ball? The roster that you have put together does not put you in a position to score the ball at all. And with a coach like Steve Kerr, like, you know what type of coach he is. He's a run-and-gun type of guy. He likes to get them up. There's nobody on the team to get the ball up. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Yeah, oh, there was a lot of free agents they could have made a play at this year.
And they should have grabbed Lil Hell Bro. Hell of a lot of them. They could have got Seth. Like, I just don't understand.
Man, they could have went after Seth. They could have made a play for Schroeder. They could have did all kind of shit. Like, it was a lot of people out there a whole bunch of people out there that they could have potentially brought in to make the situation better than what it is. Kelly fucking Oubre, bro. Like,
I don't
know
what happened to that Lamar Aldridge move either. I liked the sound of that in the summertime.
I don't.
LaMarcus Aldridge.
I don't like it at all.
Well, I liked it when Klay was going to be there. But even when Klay,
I don't even like it with Klay unless you're moving Draymond back to the three.
Nah, I'd play him at the five, but it wouldn't be much. And LaMarcus Aldridge will come off the bench and play in that Maurice Spates role.
Well, that's where you went wrong.
Nah, that Spates
that
role.
That nigga is not coming. He's not playing no fucking Spates role when he's starting with the Spurs.
Well, I mean, this was before the season started, so this
it's been shown that, but it's been shown that that's not the mindset that he got. He don't care about going to win the big shit. He's trying to get his rocks off.
Maybe that's why
he left Portland.
Maybe that's why it fell through. I don't know, but I personally, to me, he's Mo Spates but better. So I thought that he would fit perfectly in that role that Mo Spates played for us.
If he's cool with coming off the bench, I think it would have been a big pickup for y'all, but that's not happening.
The thing about the coming off this bench would have been he would have been the focal point. Like when Spates was coming off the bench, he was out there with Livingston and Barbosa and those guys who was really putting up numbers as well. Like this time it would have just been LaMarcus Aldridge, really. That's why I liked it. But that was more when I thought that it was going to be Steph, Clay, Draymond, and we was going to be in the mix. I thought Aldridge could have gave us a little more offense. But right now, as far as this roster is concerned and the playoffs, I think if they don't bring in another guard, there's no way in hell. I don't care what Steph averages. It's not happening. Like, yeah, I mean, when I say no guards, I mean, they do have Jordan Poole and they do have
Damian Lee.
But neither those, I think both of those guys are eventually going to be decent pros. Like, I don't think they're going to phase out and be G Leaguers or anything like that. But right now, they're nowhere near ready to be playing in the NBA, and they're definitely not ready to be playing in the role that they're being asked to play in Golden State right now. It's just they're not ready for that. And, like, I'm not asking for an all-star caliber guard. I'm not even asking for a fringe all-star. I'm just asking for a guard, an NBA guard. Give me Trey Burke. Like, just give me a guard, bro. Like, how are you going to put Steph out there? And he literally, like, have you seen Wiggins dribble the ball? This dude trips over the ball. He trips over his feet. I'm like, bro, I mean, Wiggins. Man, you know, I've been a Wiggins guy, and I've been saying for years that Wiggins is not a bust. But, man, on a bad team, he looks bad. Like, oh, my gosh, bro. He's throwing up stuff off the backboard. I'm like, who? Oh, my God. Don't even get me started. Because I watched – I didn't watch much of that Brooklyn game because, I mean, yeah. I didn't watch
You knew what to get into. You knew exactly what was about to happen.
And then I watched – who did we play after Brooklyn? Who was it?
The Bucks. Y'all played the Bucks?
Yeah, on Christmas. I watched that whole game. And that's when I really realized, I'm like, yo, they're not even guarding these guys. They're literally not even guarding them.
They set y'all up with some tough ass matchups right off the butt.
Well, we were supposed to have Clay. With Steph, let me be clear. With Steph Curry and Clay Thompson, I don't feel like no duo gonna beat that duo in the playoff series. As far as
what?
I don't. I'm just being real with you, bro. I got the utmost confidence. I got the utmost confidence in the Splash.
And game. I want my fucking respect, too. Man, you heard it last year, nigga, and I want my fucking respect, too.
What?
Nigga, LeBron and AD.
They're not a better duo, bro.
I want my fucking respect, too. That's they what LeBron one. Said last year. You better fucking give it to him.
They a good one, but, I mean, like I said.
They are a better one, bro.
No, I got more confidence in Steph and Clay. But negative. They're not together right now, man. I didn't see Steph and Clay do some shit under pressure, all that, for multiple years. I didn't see Steph and Clay battle tested, backs against the wall.
Let me stop you there. A lot of that shit had to do with the role players as well. So let's not act like it was
Hold on. Because
show me some games where that duo alone carried them. Nobody else scored in double figures because we saw that shit happen with the Lakers last year. Bron and AD, the only two niggas in double figures out there carrying shit.
They also weren't down 3-1 to a team that has Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook on it, and they didn't combine for 80 in game 6 and then come back and do it again in game 7. Like these – Steph and Clay, bro, they just different, bro.
It wasn't just them, no. You know it wasn't.
Majority.
Y'all was getting lights 80%. Out played. Y'all was getting lights out played from some niggas on that squad.
In those last three games of that Thunder series, it was Steph Curry, Clay Thompson. And it's a whole video on YouTube. It's about 25 minutes. You can watch
those dudes. I might have to fact check that one.
You can watch those dudes lose their minds in those last three games. Those last three games. Man, when Steph hit that three in game six under a minute and told the OKC crowd, game seven. Nigga, what you mean? Game seven. What you mean? We see y'all. Nigga, what you mean? I'm not saying that AD and LeBron can't do that in those moments. I'm just saying we haven't seen them battle tested yet. Like, they really weren't tested all playoffs.
Give me LeBron and AD.
They weren't tested all playoffs.
What do you mean?
Bro, did you really, in any one of those series that y'all played last year, feel like, damn, we might be going home?
The fucking Nuggets at a point in time.
No, you didn't, bro.
Before AD hit that fucking game winning three, the series would have been fucking tied.
Nah, man, I don't believe that.
And you just saw them niggas come back from 3-1.
I didn't ask you if the series was almost tied. I asked you if you ever felt like the series was about, y'all was about to lose the series.
Do you want to know why I never felt that way? Because that's the best fucking duo in the NBA, and they wouldn't have put us in a position to do that.
They are the best duo. Period. They are the point best blank duo period. In the NBA.
Okay, so including Steph and Klay, even when they're injured, nigga, when they are healthy, give me AD and LeBron over any duo in the NBA. Steph and Klay, I can go second, but they are very close. With that fucking duo out there in Brooklyn, I tell you that. Both them niggas averaging 25 right now. Don't look like they're taking a step back.
Yeah, but I'll just say this, man. I got pure confidence in that duo. When they're together and healthy, there's not a game I feel like we're going to lose. I'm not saying that we won't lose, but there's not a game I feel like we're going to lose with those two dudes out there. It just is what it is.
Pardon me.
I didn't say even when KD got hurt against the Rockets, or I mean, against, yeah, was it the Rockets? No, the Blazers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, hurt against the Blazers. Steph and Klay handled business. Well, really, really, that was big dog. But, I mean, we got to give Klay the credit, too, because, I mean, it's just what they do, man. It's just what they do. And I think that they don't get the proper respect. Because they're not dunking on people and all that shit. People don't.
You can't go anywhere and ask niggas who the Splash Brothers are and they don't mention.
Yeah, but
say the names, bro. They get the respect that they deserve. No, don't do that.
Not as a duo,
don't
man.
Do that.
That very
don't
well.
Do that.
That, man, nah, they don't get the respect they deserve.
That bro. Very well what? Yeah. You was about to say something extremely blasphemous.
No, I was not. I don't think it's blasphemous.
Yes, you was.
All.
You was about to call them one of the best duos of all time.
They are.
Fucking no. Yes. Them niggas are not even fucking top five.
I think they in my top five.
I'm sure they would be.
What you mean? I'm
run your top five. Run your top five down right now.
No, you run yours, and then I'll tell you if I feel like that's
Kobe and Shaq right off book.
Yeah.
Point blank, period. Jordan and Pippen. Mm-hmm. Two. Point blank, period. Mm-hmm. Tim Duncan, David Robinson. No specific order, but I'm taking them over Steph and Klay. Let's see. This is right off the top of the dome, too. AD and LeBron, point blank, period.
That one's not
nigga,
legitimate, but
yes.
That's only four anyway. But that
that's four,
not
exactly. I'm not and finished. Hold on. Let me brainstorm a little bit.
Tim Duncan and David Robinson is...
nigga, iffy. The Twin Towers.
That's iffy.
The Twin Towers.
I'm taking the Splash Brothers over the Twin Towers. But.
And if we're being honest, you might have to give me Kobe and Powell, too.
Oh, hell no. See, that's where I'm going to stop
you. If we're being honest.
And I'm going to stop you right there and not even let you do it. They are top five duo.
Yeah, that was a stretch.
They are top five duo of all time.
They might be. Like, it's somebody else that I'm forgetting out there,
man,
too, though.
That Thunder series, bro, I'm telling you, you need to revisit.
I mean,
you need to revisit.
This is kind of hard to do what I'm about to do because they were never necessarily. Nah, I'm not even going to do that because it wasn't necessary. They were never necessarily a duo. But I was about to say KD and Steph, but they were never a duo. It was the trio. So,
nah.
But, man. Yeah, man.
KD,
I don't know.
KD and Kyrie got a chance.
I'm chewing ice. That's the sound that y'all hear if y'all listening right now. But Yeah, man, I feel like we didn't talk about y'all long enough. Let's jump. Let's switch gears a little bit. LaMelo, he's active now. We're getting to see a little bit of what he's going to be in the NBA. From what you've seen thus far, what do you make of him? Do you think that he'll be like an all-star? You think he'll be better than an all-star? You think he'll become – do you think he'll be a perennial all-star? Like, what do you see from him? Like, what do you think that – what do you? What's your projection of his career? Just from the, I mean, obviously it's a small sample, but what do you think?
Well, you know, I don't need much of a sample to get a projection at all. I think that it's going to depend a lot on what type of teams he ends up playing on. If he ends up on a good ball club, I think he could be a multiple all-star, maybe a Hall of Famer, depending on what that team ends up doing.
Ooh,
like, I think that he is a playmaker on the level of like a Luka and a LeBron James. I think the one thing that's lacking for him is he doesn't have the IQ of those guys yet. Like, those guys
for sure
were like way, like they got otherworldly basketball IQs. I think LaMelo has the IQ on par for about his age. So I think that if you put LaMelo with some talented guys, he's going to make plays for you. I mean, he's a better passer than Lonzo. I mean, it is what it is. He scores better than Lonzo, too. I think that he could be about, on a good team, I think he could average about 15 and 13, for real. I think he's that type of guy. And then you add in the fact that he's 6'8", 6'9", he's going to get you some boards, too.
You really think he a better passer than Lonzo?
I really do, bro. I think that a lot of Lonzo's assists, if you really pay attention, he's an advanced passer. Like, he passes the ball ahead to the open guy. There's nothing wrong with that, but he doesn't do a whole lot of breaking his man down, making the play. He doesn't do a lot of that. He's a transition, pass it ahead to the open guy or the lob type of assist man. LaMelo can really make plays. Like, he's a playmaker. Like I said, I think he's, as passing-wise, I think he's up there with, like, Luka and LeBron. He just don't have that mind yet. I think that LaMelo is going to be fine. The one thing I don't like is that he's not in attack mode at all times. Like, he's going to have games where he only take 5 shots. And I think that –
just like his brother.
Yeah, that hurts your playmaking, though, because if I don't have to worry about you scoring, then I don't have – then I can kind of guard you for the pass. Like, you got to still be looking to score yourself to create plays at the level that he's going to do it. Once he starts being aggressive at all times, I think we're going to see LaMelo catch his footing. It'll be sometime this year. And for real, I think we'll – at that point, I think we'll see Graham start to take more of a shooter role with them, because – and I think that Rozier probably going to be on the block. Because, I mean –
jeez, he just got there.
I know, but, I mean, how are you going to keep all 3 of those guys?
Yeah, somebody going to have to skate.
Because, I mean – right now, I guess you could kind of play LaMelo at the 2 and the 3, but how long you really going to want to do that?
And bring him off the pine right now, because I don't think that's going to last much longer.
Yeah, like, I don't.
He gives that team a spark when he's on the court.
When he's playing in the attack mode. Like, when,
yeah,
he
for
came,
sure.
Who was they playing the other day? When he came in, he had
– the Nets, yeah, wasn't it?
When he came out in attack mode, that's the LaMelo. He's not going to hit those shots all the time, but when you come out with that mindset, now we got to guard you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I altogether, I like what I've seen out of LaMelo so far. I think people have just been a little too critical on him, and I think those are the people who haven't really watched him play before and don't realize what type of player he is. He's always been a playmaker.
Yeah, I think my projection on him is similar to, I guess, the projection that they gave his brother coming out. A lot of people compared his brother to like a Jason Kidd. I see that more so out of him. But the difference is, I think that Lonzo has the skill set of a Jason Kidd, meaning that he's not a guy that's going to beat you off the dribble. He doesn't have the ability to do that on numerous occasions. LaMelo plays more like a Jason Kidd, but has the ability to take you off the dribble, to size you up, to pull you back out and hit threes. Like, he has the ability to score the ball at a high clip if he actually, like you said, is aggressive. And I think that with growth, like over years, over time, we'll start to see him become a threat. Like, people are really going to take LaMelo Ball seriously as a scorer. And I think a lot of people are – oh, LaMelo can't shoot. He can't do this. That's bull fucking shit.
Yeah.
LaMelo's been a shooter his entire life. He's still that. It don't get brainwashed and thinking that nigga can't shoot because he didn't shoot at a good percentage when he was overseas and he's not shooting that right. Well, right now. When that nigga's a fucking shooter.
When he was a 16-year-old playing with grown ass men, he didn't shoot that ball well. Like, come on, like, people gotta really understand shit. Like, everybody's not a Luka Doncic who's been a professional basketball player since he was 14 and right. Won his first MVP at 18 years old overseas. Everybody's not that type of guy. Look at his frame. He was 16 exactly. Playing with grown men, regardless of if they
still
were
getting his rocks off.
Even if they those guys aren't as good as the pros in the EuroLeague, they're still grown ass men playing against. And yeah, he was exactly. Playing like he was 16, man. Come on, yo. Like, people just got to use their heads sometimes. Like, come on.
Yeah, I think that LaMelo, as far as my projection for him is, I definitely see him being better than Lonzo. I also see him being an all-star, in the right situation, a champion, I guess. He's got assets and tools that, if he learns how to tap into them properly, would be extremely vital to a team and making a championship run. As far as Hall of Famer, I think that is definitely a possibility, especially if he gets in the right situation.
Yeah, I was saying if everything went right, he went in the right situation, win some rings.
Win a ring or so, yeah. So
I think that is possible for sure. But, because he also going to be a triple-double threat. So, in the finals, he also will automatically be a finals MVP threat.
A runner for, yeah.
Hall of Fame, not really that big of a stretch if he ends up on some good basketball teams. If Charlotte goes the way that it's been going, then we could be having a whole totally completely different conversation about LaMelo Ball. But if he ends up on some good teams, I think that he probably will end up being the best ball. Although I have loved the confidence I'm seeing out of Lonzo this year, though.
Yeah, me too. Me too, for sure. But that also comes from a place of Lonzo not having to do too much. Lonzo is in a very comfortable space now where he's not looked at as the focal point, not the first option nor the second option on that team. Because I'm just going to say I haven't heard anybody say, Brandon Ingram is about to be a fucking superstar.
And Zion,
he's on
like
his
he
way
far.
To being a superstar. Exactly. Zion is right there too. So, if they keep that whole little chemistry going down there, they got a couple of pieces that they can add to make them a little better, which I love the addition of Steven Adams because now you don't put as much strain on Zion defensively or rebounding the ball. He can get out, get on a break, catch lobs. He doesn't have to do as much as he's had to do. But if they keep building this team, this is going to be a special Pelicans team. And I definitely think that they've got – I know a lot of people watch them on Thanksgiving or on Christmas and watch them get their heads whooped. But that was a lot. Yeah, exactly. That was a lot to take from that, though.
I thought
that was a lot of takeaways.
I thought they looked good, too.
Exactly.
They just played. I mean, they played against a team that just came from the championship, and the Heat, they look like they – I'm not going to say they're going to make it, but they primed to look to make another run at it, though. That's a good fucking team right there, bro. I love watching the Heat play. Like, I love watching that team play, bro. The way they move the ball, everybody just involved. I love
it's great basketball. Shit. They remind me so much of watching like the fucking Spurs when the ball didn't stick. Mm-hmm. That thing was moving. Like you just never know who's gonna beat you on a nightly basis. And I think that the thing that's gonna help them take that next step is getting somebody to become a consistent co-star to Jimmy B. And I think that Tyler Hero has every single attribute to do it.
It's going
to
be him.
I'm hoping it's going to be him. I just hope that it's this year. I want him to take that step this year. Because last year, he showed enough to show. I got it. It's in me. But in order for them to take that extra step, which, I mean, the next step is to win the title. And I don't think it's going to happen this year. Nah. But I think he's going to have to show that he's got the ability to be that guy. I think that he'll do it this year.
I think he takes a step this year, but I don't think he takes the step to that point yet. I think he takes a step to that direction though this year. But I think this year the Heat might have a little disappointing season just for the simple fact they went to the finals last year. So if they don't make it back, they're going
expectations are
yeah,
high.
If they don't make it back, they're going to be disappointed. And I definitely don't think they're making it back this year. So I think we already know what finals what finals we on point we're about to see. I can't wait because
well. Now that you mention it, let's just go ahead and talk about it, man. Are they the team to beat? Like the Brooklyn Nets. Let's just call it what it is. Are they? No, I don't mean in a league. I mean in the Eastern Conference. Are they the team to beat in the Eastern Conference?
Easily. I mean, they're so fucking deep. Like, Dinwiddie went down with the ACL. So
that hurt. That hurt.
Dinwiddie for the
that hurt a lot.
But, I mean, still.
Potentially. Because it wasn't a full tear. It's a partial.
So
and they're talking about him possibly coming back. They said that he's going to be evaluated. And they'll gauge it within the next couple of days to see whether he'll be able to come back.
Even without him. I mean, you got three legit buckets. Caris LeVert, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant. Those guys are going to get theirs. I feel like LeVert probably averaged somewhere between 18 to 21 points this year. Easily,
I can see it,
and I mean, that's a solid big three right there, like
for sure. Not to mention DeAndre looking like he back in Lob City.
I mean, how can you not with those guys out there?
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, that's a good team. The Nets is that's a good team,
and they've got all of the pieces that complement each other very well. Like even like you said, without Dinwiddie. They're not – yeah, that's a drop-off, but you got a guy like Caris LeVert who's ready to step in and do what's needed to be done in order to pick up that slack a little bit. You also got a guy in Joe Harris who is really showing that he's knocked down.
Period. I mean –
like, he's knocked down. That's what he came in the league to do.
Three-point champion.
Exactly. He's showing that's who he is, consistent.
And then you even got guys like Torian Prince who going to come in, play some D, hit a couple of shots. Like, golly. That team is, yeah, they're deep.
They've got a really good ball club.
And if y'all didn't make the moves y'all made, y'all wouldn't have stood a chance against that team at all. For real, I'm just being 100. If y'all ain't make no moves this offseason and came back with that same mob y'all had last year, 4-1. Done for.
4-1?
Bro, with Danny Green and Rondo and them, bro, come on, bro. Like, I don't want to disrespect y'all and say that y'all won by default because y'all were the best team in basketball all year. But I also feel like it just was no team that was ready to even be a challenge to y'all last year. Like, after Kyrie.
So it was I agree, it was more of a circumstantial.
Like, not to
win.
Say that
like,
y'all
that's
wouldn't
not to say
win.
We wouldn't have.
Yeah, but.
It definitely played in our favor with Steph and Klay going down, making the road easier
then
the Clippers getting beat. Rolled easier there. And you got Kyrie and KD no longer playing over there. So
Giannis,
I agree from that standpoint.
Giannis gets beat by the Heat and then the Heat turn around beat Boston too. Like it was just like it just worked out perfect. But I mean when you win in a championship shit, you win in a championship. You don't give a fuck. Like people always say
right. Yep.
People always be like, mm-hmm. Oh, I wanted to play like no, I wanted to win. I don't give a damn if we play the nine.
You line eight, up, I play who's in front of
in
me.
In the championship? Like what? Like, nah, I don't give a damn who I'm playing. If you made it there, you obviously was good enough to be here. So get your head whooped.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
And this ain't that. This not college. This not March Madness. You got to beat the team four times. So,
yeah. So I
like you said, if you got there, you deserve to be there.
So yeah, I can't really say that it was by default, but it was just like there was because really technically y'all weren't really ready to win the championship either. Like, I don't feel like that was a championship roster, but there was no other. I mean, it was the best roster in the league that year. Like, y'all was not supposed to be able to win it with Rondo as your third option. Like, that was not supposed to be able to happen. I don't care what nobody say. That was not supposed to be able to happen. But, I mean, it just worked out that way. But this year, y'all really going to need a mop. And, I mean, that's what y'all got. So.
Yeah, I think we made substantial moves to put us back in a position to be where we were last year. But before we get off the NBA, man, let's talk MVP and different awards. Who you got for your MVP this year?
I'm going out there, man.
Oh my fucking gosh.
Kyrie Irving, bro. Kyrie Irving.
You know I like that talk. You know that's my guy. You know that. If you have been a listener to the Pick and Roll podcast, you have known that Kyrie Irving, well, just put it this way, man. My two favorite players in the NBA are on the same team. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving have been my favorite players in the NBA since Kobe has left. Also, I've obviously, if you've been a listener, you know that AD is somewhere in the mix there too. But, you know, I love that because Sam is one of them guys that he's been a little hard on Kyrie. So the fact that he will pick Kyrie
but I think
to win an MVP, that that just
lines up right this year. He's been talking crazy. He burning the sage. He's
been playing crazy.
But then he gets out on that court, and it's like, I think a lot of people are going to finally remember how fun it is to watch this dude play basketball, because I think a lot of people have forgotten. And
I agree.
A lot of people saying Dame Lillard was better than Kyrie, and I think we already remember that that is not true. After three games, we already remember that is not true. We just have not seen Kyrie in a while. Like, that's why I'd be telling people stop living in the moment.
Yeah, we get a lot of prisoners in the moment.
People get hurt.
That's the type of shit that really pisses me off, because I feel like how you were feeling about the Steph situation and people saying that Dame is better than Steph and shit like that. I'm like, I didn't pay too much attention to that, but I'm like, man, now niggas see, because I've been hearing this shit about Kyrie for the last 2-3 years, and I'm like, man, I don't know what y'all seeing. Give me Kyrie.
Because, like, I know y'all know I'm an avid Steph Curry fan, have been since 2009. But, like, when it comes down to it, I just like watching guards play basketball, because, I mean, that's what I play, is a guard. So, when it comes down to it, like, I love the Kyries and the Dame Lillards, the Stephs, Trae Young, like, all of them. Like, Ja Morant, like, I love watching all these guards play basketball, regardless of Steph my favorite or not. So, like, it'd be hard for me sometimes when people be saying the stuff that they do, and I got to tear down some of these guys because y'all trying to compare them to Steph.
Because the comparisons, yeah.
But, I mean, when it comes down to it, though, like, I really love watching Kyrie play. Like, he's a fucking magician. Like, when he was talking about art and shit, maybe basketball not art to a lot of guys, but to a lot of them it is, too. Like, when you Kyrie or Jordan, LeBron, like, that's art. And
it's a certain art to it, yeah.
I saw Styles P made a comparison when he was saying, like, athletes are geniuses. And, like, I never heard nobody say that before, but, like, the way he was making it out, he, like,
damn.
You think of
– damn.
He said
– that's a
– yeah, he was saying,
yeah,
like –
yeah, go ahead and explain it, but I just clicked in my head when you said that. Yeah, like,
saying,
yeah.
He's saying, like, to come up with all these moves on the fly and react to a guy and put the ball in the hole like that, or, like, even like in any sport, like just to be able to react and like you do a move instinctually, like you really don't have time to think about what you're going to do. You just do it. Mm-hmm. And like, we don't really think of it like that. But I mean, if you really kind of think about it, that shit is, it's kind of fucking crazy. And the shit that Kyrie puts together out there and does on the fly is unreal. Like,
yeah, like that up and under that he did and spun it off the backboard with his left on the right hand side. Like, bro.
Like,
that shit is not, it's hard enough for people to shoot a left handed layup on the right side of the basketball hoop if you don't put the right spin on that bitch. He is in midair switching hands and still has enough hang time and enough spin on the ball to spin it perfectly off the glass and spin that bitch in. Anybody who watched that highlight, I encourage you to go back and rewatch that highlight in slow motion, because they have the slow motion video of it. And the way that he did that shit is just like, it looks like art. Like, he's really like all intentions on finishing with the right. Oh shit, that's not going to work. Let me get it to the left. Yeah, spin it back. Like, that shit is literally spur of the moment. Like, that, it don't happen like that, bro.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be as easy as Kyrie makes it. And like, I relate to Kyrie because, I mean, no.
You used to do a lot of like, that same shit.
That's not, I mean, I'm not Kyrie by any stretch. Don't get it twisted. But that's, like, my style of basketball. Like, that's how I play. So, like, the shit that does, like, I'm just, like, I really just be at a loss of words watching Kyrie, bro. Like, I just, like, it's just crazy the shit that he does. I don't understand how, and the finishes and the angles. Like, that's another thing. Like, basketball is angles, and Kyrie never takes the wrong angle. He takes the right angle every single time, which is why you can
every time
you see a guy that's 6'2", they never really get his shot blocked, because he just, I don't know, man. He's just different. And I think as far as MVP this year, I think that it's going to work out perfect for him. And with KD coming back from injury, he's going to be able to still give you 27 and only be 80% healthy because of who he is. So, but he don't really got his foot on the gas. It's really going to be up to Kyrie to really do most of the heavy lifting for most of the year. That's why I like Kyrie for MVP this year.
I like that pick, and I think a lot of that goes to the shit that he said. Like, let's just call a spade a spade. A lot of people had issue with him saying this is the first time in his career that he feels like he's got another player on his team that's as much of a closer as he is. Somebody that he feels like, in any given circumstance, I can give the ball to you, and I don't got to worry about coming to get the ball back or figuring out how I'm going to get the ball back. And it shows in his gameplay. You can tell when a player is pressing offensively. And Kyrie has done that a lot in his career. And I think that that really came from a mental place to where he felt like, yeah, I know LeBron is LeBron, but at the end of the day, I'm the offensive superstar on this team. As far as the buckets are concerned, when it's a crucial moment, I'm the only one that I can count on to take that shot, because he's going to play the game the way that he plays it, which means LeBron is going to look for the best play. Like, it may not always be the right play in order for you to win the game, but LeBron is going to do the best play. Meaning, if LeBron drives to the hole and the defense slides over, it's a wide open player in the corner, that guy may shoot 29% from three. LeBron's still going to make that pass because that's the right basketball move. Kyrie is a guy that's like, shit, if I get the ball, they slide over, I'm Euro-stepping through the double team, and I'm going to try to finish some shit because that nigga over there can't shoot. And I feel like he was saying, I have finally played with a guy who I feel comfortable giving a ball to in those situations, and I know that he's going to make the same type of decision that I would make, because KD is just like him. They are serial killers when it comes to scoring the ball. And it shows in his play this year. Kyrie does not seem like he's pressing at all to score the ball, because he knows that all of the offensive pressure isn't on him.
I ain't gonna lie
he knows
to you,
that
bro.
He don't got
to
go out and get 26, 27, 30-something points a game in order for them to win.
That's the first time that Kyrie quote made any type of sense to me. I swear to God.
But I broke it down to my dad the other day, and he was like, dang, he said, I didn't think about it like that. You know, I'm a Kyrie guy, bro.
I didn't think about it like that neither. I thought he was taking shots at LeBron. But when you really look at it like that, I mean, if that's what he
shows,
really meant, that
like,
do make sense that he really not meaning closer. What he really meaning is a nigga that's going to say, fuck the right basketball play this time. I'm the right basketball play. Like, that type
period.
Of guy. Like, because, yeah, that makes sense. But LeBron is a closer.
And that's exactly what I took from it. Because, you think about it like this, bro. Him and LeBron have had their issues in the past. He said some slick shit about LeBron. But he even admitted that, yeah, I called LeBron a year or so ago to apologize to him because I didn't really know what it was like to be a superstar, da-da-da-da-da. So I don't think that he would really take it there, per se. We don't know these people personally. But I believe that what he was saying was exactly what I just explained. Like, I don't think it was coming from a malice place. I don't think it was any malicious intent when he said that. I just think that it came off that way because Kyrie's a very blunt individual. When he talks, he says exactly what he means. He doesn't break it down. Either you get it or you don't. And I feel like watching his play this year, just in this little span of time that we've seen him play with KD, he looks more comfortable than he's looked in a long time on a basketball court. And I think it's for that reason.
Yeah, that,
and I think that that's exactly what it is. But as far as my MVP MVP pick, you kind of got me wavering now because I kind of want to go Kyrie, but I was going to go as countermate KD just off the strength that KD is going to have an unfair advantage on any other player in the NBA just off
the
strength
injury.
That he's coming off of that injury. Mm-hmm. If he goes out and scores 27, his 27 is going to look better than anybody else to score 27 on that given day just because he's coming off the injury. So everything he does is going to be amplified, is going to be, oh shit, KD went for 45 today. That's nothing for KD. KD can go for 40 every night if he really wants to, if he's playing at that level. But I think that that's going to give him an edge. But I don't know. Like, that's been my take since the start of the year. But the more I watch Brooklyn, the more I'm getting what you said. It does look like it's more of a Kyrie leading the charge. And KD, like, shit, I'm going to get my bucks still. But right now, I'm still trying to get back in the groove of things. And I got a guy that I know that's going to go out there and do what he does. And it's a situation where KD hasn't been in a while either, playing with another point guard that dominates the ball but doesn't Russell Westbrook dominate the ball.
Yeah, and
so
I don't want to take anything away from KD coming off the Achilles injury, but I said when he got hurt that if it was anybody who was going to be able to come back from an Achilles injury,
it's him,
and not change. It's going to, it's just the way he plays the game. He's not really heavily relying on the athleticism or anything anyway, and he's not getting any shorter. Facts. So as long as he's still that tall and that jumper don't go nowhere, KD going to be KD. And like whenever he gets slow, he just gonna turn his back. You're still not gonna be able to block
exactly.
Like KD gonna be fine regardless, coming off whatever injury. Like he just got one of those unique games to where like Achilles injury is just not gonna hinder him as much, because I mean, all he gonna do is shoot pull up jumpers in your face. He can do that.
Only thing I saw. Is that he's going to have to adjust as a shot blocker, because when he was with Golden State, he did that very well. I want to say he led the team and blocked shots at a point in time. But judging after what I saw against them Hornets,
you're going to have to
adjust
though,
a little bit. But niggas was out there taking turns, bro.
I mean, that's cool.
PJ Washington did it. Then Rozier came down and did it. Like, that's not to say that, like you said, it happens to everybody, but I think that he's going to have to adjust and realizing, like, I might not have that extra boost that I normally have to go up and block shots, so I'm going to have to come at it from a different type of angle. Once he gets that, I feel like he'll be fine. But that's my pick for I don't know, man. Now I'm going, I don't know.
You want to go Kyrie, don't you?
No, I don't. I do, but I don't. Fuck it. I'm going I'm going with my gut. Anthony Davis for MVP.
Nah, he's not ever getting one.
Anthony Davis for MVP. Let's not act like he shouldn't have been there last year. Not to say he should have won it.
They are
for sure should have been a candidate.
They are never going to give a LeBron James teammate MVP.
LeBron's pushing for him to get MVP this year. So,
man, hey, listen. I don't believe that shit for a second, bro. I really don't. I'll just keep it 100 with you. I'm not saying that he's going off of
what LeBron said, bro.
And I'm not saying he's praying on Anthony Davis's downfall, but if I'm competing for
who LeBron is, though.
That's who LeBron says he is.
Man. No, that's what I mean. Like, we know LeBron's that guy that wants the glory. We know that.
Like
just like he said, he was pushing for AD to get the finals MVP last year and went out and showed, like, nigga, nah. I'm taking it.
Like, he be faking, bro. And it be like, you supposed to want that. But, bro, don't sit out here and act like that ain't what you want. And we watch it. We know what you want, bro. Like, you do not want Anthony Davis to win MVP. Because now, it'd be different if he wasn't competing for MVPs itself. But you're not going to convince me that you're in the MVP race and you want your teammate to get it. Nah, bro.
Especially after last year, how disrespected he felt last year.
Nah, bro. And to me, it's nothing wrong with that, bro. Like, there's nothing wrong with that to me.
Yeah, I don't think it is either.
Like, I mean, we both in the MVP race. Like, if me and Hill was in the MVP race, I'm like, nah, nigga, I'm getting that. What you mean?
This me, right. This me. This is mine. I'm bringing this home.
What you mean, bro?
You can come check it out a couple times on my mantle.
Yeah, like, ain't nothing wrong with that, bro. You're supposed to want that if you're having team success. It's different when you're losing and you want the glory, or like you winning and you like, oh, he hit the game winner. Why you ain't talking about my 40, though? Like, that's different. But I mean,
right,
MVP,
right.
Bro, we know you want MVP, bro. Stop playing. Win MVP in year 17, like, you don't want that. You know you want
that. All right, so defensive player of the year. I got Anthony Davis for defensive player of the year as well. Who you got?
For defensive player of the year?
Yeah.
And you going Anthony Davis?
I am.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
With confidence.
And I'm going with
Three
Giannis.
Years in a row?
Hey, I don't.
Woo!
I like the rivalry between them. I love it. And you going AD, I'm going Giannis.
Okay, I like it.
I think
rookie
the
of the
NBA
year.
Need that.
I'm going James Wiseman, rookie of the year. Who you got? I feel like he's the only logical choice at this point.
You think?
Right now.
Yeah, but it's early. He ain't going to get all them opportunities all year.
Who? That fucking Warriors roster.
Oh, no, he might. He looked good. But
and the way he's stroking the three, bro, like that's – I knew he could shoot, but he out there stroking that bitch.
Yeah, but then they're going to have to guard. Eventually they're going to guard. Nobody was guarding him yet.
And then what? Then what? He's a little more agile than people give him credit for. He ain't going to bong, bong, bong you out there, but he going to piece you up a little bit. You come out there too early.
Yeah, that's not
and he's long enough to where he going one step, two step, I'm at the rim.
Yeah,
I think he's really a matchup nightmare at that center.
I think he will be, but I think he's really raw right now, and I don't think he's going to shoot
so
that well
too.
All year. So I'm gonna go Anthony Edwards. I think he's more well rounded, more ready to contribute to an NBA roster right now.
I think a lot of that's gonna have to do with what's going on with Karl Anthony Towns. Like if he can stay healthy throughout the year, then yeah, I feel like Anthony Edwards is in much more of a position to where it's not much that's asked of him at this point because he got two other guys that are solidified alongside him in Karl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell. But let's say this Karl Anthony Towns lingering injury becomes something more serious. Now it's him and D'Angelo Russell. And that's not to say that he can't step up and score the ball more. I just think that it's going to be more pressure on him to score, which I don't think is going to lead to him being as successful as a James Wiseman.
Yeah, I don't think James Wiseman's a bad pick. I think that he's just really raw. I think it's going to be hard for
him.
It's
his stat sheet stuffing that I feel like is going to lead to him getting rookie of the year because not only does he score the ball well for a big man, he rebounds exceptionally well, which that's going to drop a little bit once Draymond comes back. But along with that, I feel like he's going to get a lot of opportunities to block shots with help side blocks because Draymond's going to do a lot of the heavy lifting as far as people not being able to get into the paint as much as they have been against Golden State, and he's going to be a lot of that help side, no, get that shit out of here type of block. So I think that he's going to, I don't know, and he passes the ball better than I thought he did too.
Yeah, I mean, he's a real versatile
It's not
guy.
Like, oh my goodness, he can dime it, but he throws the ball way better than I thought he did.
I think he's going to be a really good pro. Right now, I think he's more defense.
All right, so NBA champ, who you got? I'll go first, man. And as much as it pains me to say it, you know I love my Lakers. But I think Spencer Dinwiddie comes back, and I got Brooklyn at 7.
I got Brooklyn regardless of if Dinwiddie come back or not. I do think it's going to be one hell of a series, but I think that KD gets the best of Bron. Obviously, there's nothing.
And there's no fucking body for Kyrie.
No, Anthony Davis, he's a good defender, but there's nothing he can do with Mr. Durant either. So, I mean, I think that's
not like they are literally our matchup nightmare.
Anybody with
like
a killer
them as
at
a
that
ball
guard
club.
Spot like that, a killer like that, like a Dame. Well, Dame don't play for a contender, so he don't count. But like, shit, ain't nobody but Kyrie and Steph. So,
I don't even think it's that for real. I think it's the fact that they have elite rim protectors and not only DeAndre Jordan, but Jared Allen as well. And obviously, KD is a guy that's going to make LeBron defend. If they throw AD on KD, who's LeBron going to guard? Like, there's nobody out there for LeBron to guard for real. But if they do decide to do that, that's a problem because now you got a guy – and AD, who's your best defender. I understand last year's finals with him guarding Jimmy Butler and a guy like that, but you asking for a whole lot more trying to get him to guard a guy like KD. You're asking for him to commit 100% defensively, which means that leaves offense in the hands of guys who I'm not necessarily super confident in outside of LeBron. Also, this is not a team to where if AD pulls their big away from the basket, they're in trouble because they're long enough to be able to compensate in every other way. Like, if they really want to get nasty and play DeAndre and Jared Allen together, they could do that because that it showed last year that Portland gave us fits when they played Nurkic and Whiteside together. And our way to combat that was to throw Dwight out there, which this year we don't have the luxury of throwing somebody else out there that's going to help that. So I think that they're a matchup nightmare for us in not only offensively, but defensively. They have everything to where, like, you can put two bigs out there to keep AD out the paint, and then you got a guy, Kevin Durant, who I'm not going to say he can strap Bron, but he's a capable defender, and he can do enough to where Bron knows he's not just going to go out there and get his rocks off, not at this age, this stage of his career. Then, I mean, like we said, there's absolutely fucking nothing for Kyrie out there. If Schroeder is our answer for guarding Kyrie, you can book him for 30 points per game in the finals.
Maybe Horton Tucker is a great defender with that long-ass wingspan, but them big-ass feet going to fall fucking around with Kyrie, though.
Man, they better not try to put his ass on Kyrie. Yeah. They better off putting him on KD. They better not put his ass on Kyrie. Caruso. We don't have nothing at all. We're just going to have to chalk it up that Kyrie's going
to
go.
Watch.
Man, don't get me started.
But before we...
Anyways, man.
Yeah, I got Brooklyn.
You got Brooklyn.
I think it'll be a 7-game series, though. I think it'll be a hell of a series. But I think eventually Kyrie and KD, they have at least one game where they just lose their mind.
Flex the muscle.
And then y'all really just don't even have answers for guys like LeVert and Dinwiddie, just off the bench. Like, they're just so deep. Yeah, they're just so deep.
Guards, period. We don't
But let me ask you this, though. With LeVert, Dinwiddie being out, do you feel like there's anybody in the East that can really even challenge the Nets, or do you think they're really, like, a shoe-in, like, that easy? I know we picked them for the finals, but, I mean, like, do you think there's any chance that they
– No. I don't think they're a shoe-in. Okay, I don't. I think Miami plays them tough. I also think Boston plays them tough. Reason I say Boston is because we just saw that matchup the other night. And people are forgetting that Boston don't even got Kemba right now. And the fact that Boston went out and added Tristan Thompson, that did a lot for them defensively. That was their glaring weakness, is that they did not have any type of rim protection or rebounding at all. So he helps out a lot. And they're also, it's no secret that they've been deep at the wing. But now that they got rid of Gordon Hayward, they don't have the pressure of trying to figure out when they're going to play who or who gets a certain amount of minutes. Like, they have a guy, Marcus Smart, who is capable of putting a little bit of pressure on Kyrie. I think Kyrie still get his rocks off, but he'll be able to defend Kyrie. Then you got guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown that you can throw at KD. To keep some fresh legs guarding him. And, I mean, they've got a lot of talent out there that I feel like they could compete with them. I still think Brooklyn is obviously the best team in the East, but I think that those two teams definitely give them a run for their money. I think this is the year where we really see, like, all right, Milwaukee, it's y'all's time is no longer here. Like, I think the teams really show that they're better than Milwaukee. I think Giannis still has Giannis-type games, but I don't think that it's enough to take them to the Eastern Conference Finals, depending on how the matchups look.
That Bucks and Nets series could get interesting. If Giannis finds a way to get to the rim, I think that it could. But that's the thing. Like,
it's too much rim protection out there.
It's so hard to bully your way to the rim like you do in the regular season. Like, teams are really going to get back.
And when you do... And when you do, you're meeting elite shot blockers. Not to say that Giannis not going to dunk a couple of times and get his rocks off, but every time you come, you're either meeting DeAndre Jordan or you're meeting Jared Allen. And both of those guys, a lot of people don't give Jared Allen the credit that he deserves, but both of those guys are elite rim protectors, like elite rim protectors. And that's – a lot of that is really going to hurt Milwaukee unless they come out shooting lights out. But I don't see that happening.
They added a little bit. I think that with Jrue Holiday, that's at least somebody that you could throw at Kyrie Irving. And obviously, you could throw Giannis at KD. And I think that things could get interesting. But Giannis has to find a way to score in the playoffs, because that's been their problem. Like, he just got to find a way to score in the playoffs somehow.
And I think he has more trouble this year, especially if they line up with a team like Brooklyn, because they're asking him – yes, he's a phenomenal defender, but they're asking him to defend a guy like that he's never had to defend before. He's never had to defend a guy like a Kevin Durant, somebody the same size as him and agile on a perimeter.
Yeah.
He's the perfect guy. He's the perfect guy to defend him. But, I mean, if you don't, you're putting Chris Middleton on him and – now you're taking away a whole bunch of offense, because Chris Middleton wasn't going to do much to begin with. But if you asking him to guard KD, you know he's not going to have the legs to shoot the rock.
Oh, no. The Bucks should be able to challenge a team like the Nets. But I think it got to go on the coach, too. Like, you got to find some ways to get Giannis some points. Like, can he not catch a pick? Can he not be a screen man and catch some lobs? Like, how can we not find a way to get Giannis involved just because he can't score in transition? Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, it's not – it doesn't all just go to Giannis' skill set. The coach also got to find a way to use him. Like, get him in his spots where he's comfortable. Oh, he can only hit this short corner jumper? Well, let's get him some touches right here then. Like, find – like, I know he just got to find a way to figure something out.
He's got to be much more creative this year.
Oh, no. His career is playing out just like how LeBron's did. That's the crazy thing. Like, literally, even to winning the one seed in back-to-back years and getting upset in the playoffs. Like, everything has worked out in Giannis's career how it did in LeBron's, besides at this point.
Facts. Except for the fact that he ain't got a trip to the finals.
But I mean, just like as far, after that. Because, this would have been the year that LeBron went to the Heat. And Giannis's career, like, he had a chance to lead. This was the time when Bron went to Miami and went to the finals again. Like, but LeBron always been – he was always a better shooter than Giannis. Like, rookie year LeBron shoot better than Giannis do right now. So, that was different, but
– for sure.
I don't know. Giannis got to find a way, and the coach need to find a way. They both need to find a way for him to score in the playoffs, because they wasting time. The East just keep getting deeper.
I agree. Let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk college football. It ain't but two games that really matter, I guess. Bama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State. Start off Bama, Notre Dame first, since they do play first. I guess I'll give my take first. I think it's going to be a lot of the same shit we saw against Clemson. This Bama team is really scary, just for the simple fact that they have the ability to run the ball like they have in the past, just pound the ball down your throat and just manhandle you on the line of scrimmage. But for the first time in a long time, they have the ability to not do that and just spread you out and pick you apart. Like, that's what's so scary about this team, is that they don't rely on the run. Their first option is to air the ball out as much as they can, because they've got Studge outside and Devontae Smith being a Heisman candidate, and he wasn't even the number one receiver coming in this year. That just shows how nice of a wide receiver core they have. Like, when Waddle was there, we were seeing Devontae Smith, but we wasn't seeing him at this level. And now that we see him as the feature receiver, we're showing that he has the ability to do everything that Jalen Waddle did as a number one receiver. So that's the scary part. I mean, other than that, I mean, the quarterback is extremely accurate. Najee Harris is exactly who he's been the last couple of years, a bully. I don't really see this game being close at all. I can't see anything happening outside of injury that makes this game close. Depending on how severe, there's going to have to be a couple of guys to go down. Like, Mac, Not even Mac Jones, because a lot of people don't understand that Alabama's got the number one recruit in the nation sitting behind Mac Jones.
It don't matter who get hurt.
So it's going to have to be somebody like Devontae Smith and Najee Harris and a key lineman or some shit like that. Like, that's not to say Notre Dame isn't, because Notre Dame's got a really big front. They've got a really big line. They can stop the run a little more than what people give them credit for. But come on, man. They're not going to have nothing for the passing game. We saw how Trevor Lawrence picked them apart. Trevor Lawrence don't have nowhere near the weapons Mac Jones got.
Notre Dame don't stand a chance outside of COVID-19 of winning this fucking game. That's the only chance they got. Is if one of their back rooms or somebody get COVID. They wide receiver room all get COVID or some shit. Like, that's the only way, bro. They don't stand a chance, man. They had a good year. Pack it in. It's a wrap. And
yeah, I think this is the closest that Notre Dame gets. This has been the story of that university, man. They have good seasons. They get into the playoffs and get their heads whooped, or get to the national title game and get their head whooped like they did back in the BCS era. It just, they're a good ball club. They just are not amongst the elites. And I think that shows. They get a crack at the top two programs in the nation, which is Clemson, who they were able to beat without Trevor Lawrence. But once they saw that Clemson team at full strength, we saw how that game went. And now you're about to get another a completely different animal in this Bama team, who I just don't think that in any scenario Notre Dame matches up with them. So I got Bama by at least 3 scores.
I'm thinking
17 at the least.
42-14, 42-17, something petty.
Somewhere around there. Yeah, I think it's going to get real ugly. Next game, Clemson, Ohio State. First off, what you're not going to do is you're not going to disrespect my Buckeyes like that. I'm going to be extremely objective, though. It's no secret that our biggest issue has been our D-backs, which they just have not been. Sean Wade was arguably the best defensive back coming back this year. And we had to make a change and move him from the slot corner to the outside corner, which that has left a glaring weakness in our secondary. Like, yeah, he's a very good cornerback. He'll probably be a top 10 pick next year. But you can tell that he was still trying to adjust. And I think it's safe to say that he has adjusted to that outside corner role, but it's everywhere else that has just been picked apart. I think that the biggest thing about Ohio State is that we are so accustomed to playing man-to-man because we've always, for the last at least 5 to 6 years, had a dominant pass rush or a dominant pass rusher, and whether it was Chase Young, Nick Bosa, Joey Bosa, Sam Hubbard. They're just guys that have attacked the quarterback at a different level to where it gave us the ability to play man-to-man, and quarterbacks didn't have enough time to go through all of their reads. This year, we don't have the luxury of having that defensive lineman who really terrorizes the backfield, and I don't think that Ryan Day has done enough adjusting and letting Ohio State's D-backs play more zone. We saw it in the Northwestern game where it looked like we was about to fucking lose because we was playing man-to-man and they was doing whatever they wanted out there, and then he adjusted. So that has definitely been an issue. Along with that, Justin Fields hasn't looked like Justin Fields in every game this year. There's been a lot of games where teams must have saw what Clemson did last year and implemented a lot of that in their defense, where they do a whole bunch of disguise blitzing and dropping in coverage and just bringing weird blitzes from weird places, and it's rattled him a little bit this year. That's going to be an issue, but I think that this extra time that we have to prepare for this game, everything that Dabo has been saying about Ohio State, bulletin board material, accompanied with the fact that they're the reason why a lot of these players came back, because they put us out last year, As long as Chris Olave is active and he clears these COVID protocols, I like Ohio State's chances. Think it's going to be a very close game. I like Ohio State 31-24. But it's going to have to be on the strength of Ryan Day switching things up defensively, because if we play man-to-man, it's going to be a rout. And it's not going to be a route in Ohio State's favor. Trevor Lawrence is going to pick our defense apart if we play man-to-man. But I got faith in Ryan Day. He's a very good coach. He does a lot of great adjusting, great adjustments, should I say. He makes a lot of great adjustments. And I think that he'll do that. So I like Ohio State 31-24.
I definitely think that y'all losing. Y'all have never beat Clemson before. I don't think it starts. I don't think it starts this year. First time for everything. If y'all gonna win a national championship, y'all need a better draw than this. I do think it'll be a good game, much better than the Notre Dame and Bama game. But I think that Trevor Lawrence shows us why teams are but it shows us why we know for a fact that he'll be a Jaguar next year. He's number one pick, and they already locked it up. So he's going to be a Jaguar because he's just different. And he's going to show us that against Ohio State for people who don't already know that. I'll say 35-24 Clemson.
Damn. Okay. I don't think I can see that, but I feel it.
Yeah. I didn't like y'all the way y'all looked this year. But I feel like if this was a regular season, I don't think y'all even would have made the playoff.
We for sure would have made the playoff just off the strength that people got to understand what we did this year. Like, we only played six games.
If y'all would have played six more, y'all would have stumbled.
A full schedule, we would have beaten. We would have beaten everybody we played. We played all of the tough teams in our conference. All of them.
Oh, no.
Nobody would have beat us.
Y'all lose the bad teams, though. Y'all do that all the time.
What's going to happen this year? We ain't done that in a while.
L. There it is. Boom.
No. We wouldn't have lost to Iowa. Whatchamacallit was our Iowa this year. Northwestern was Iowa this year. They beat Iowa to get there, too. Iowa just wasn't. Iowa, that typical team that Iowa has, that's exactly what Northwestern had this year, where they fucking smash mouth. You keep the ball away from you. Play that weird ass, we need a turnover. We get a turnover in the opportune time, and we beat you. That's exactly how I thought that Northwestern game was going to go, too. I was like, fuck. This shit is Iowa all over again. But we prevailed, and a lot of people don't give that Indiana team a lot of credit. Indiana got one loss on the season, and it was us. And them niggas took us to the brink. Indiana is nice as fuck this year. They are a very good ball club. And they playing with their backup quarterback right now. I still got them winning a bowl game by a lot. But they're a really good team. But, yeah, I think we still would have got in. I think that would have been better in our favor if we would have played more games, obviously. But I think what's going to happen is I think we're going to beat Clemson. It's going to be a whole big ass hysteria about Dabo saying, well, I mean, they only played six games. They were, much healthier than we were. They had less games, less mileage on their body. Da, 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 da. It's going to be a whole ordeal. So that's exactly how I see it playing out. But
hey.
I'm telling you, bro. You heard it here first. That's for sure what he's going to say. Number. I mean, what do you expect? The team only played six games this year. Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, he gave us a lot of bulletin board material. That's why I think we come out and get this dub. But let's before we get out of here, man, let's talk NFL real quick. Playoff picture, MVP race. I think the MVP race is pretty much sold up. I think Aaron Rodgers got it in the bag, which I think is beautiful, because this is coming from a guy who they were basically saying his time was over because they drafted a quarterback in the first round. They traded up to draft a quarterback in the first round. And he saw it as disrespect because he had just came out and made a statement like, look, we need some skill players. We haven't drafted a skill player since I've been here. And it was like, okay,
a quarterback.
We'll draft a skill player. They drafted a skill player, and the skill player was a quarterback. So he took that as, okay, that's how y'all want to play it? Bet. I'm just about to go out here and let this nigga sit the pine and show y'all why he about to sit the pine for at least the next 2 to 3 years. And he's looked phenomenal this year. Like, he's not a step off. Like, there's no – outside of that little hiccup in Tampa Bay, which I think was an anomaly. I don't think we'll see that again. Yeah, he's just – he's looked lights out all year, and it helps him a lot that Davante Adams is starting to take that step into being top three receiver in the league. Yeah, I've got – definitely got Aaron Rodgers with that one sold up. As far as the playoff picture is concerned, I think everything's pretty much played itself out. I'm hoping my Cowboys can slide in there. I'm hoping Washington loses to Philly next week, but – I heard Rex Ryan say something extremely true today, which I wouldn't be surprised to see it happen. He said there's no way that Philadelphia lets the Cowboys win their division and make the playoffs. Basically, Philly has to beat Washington in order for Dallas to get in. And he basically said Philadelphia hates Dallas more than they hate Washington. They're not going to let Dallas get into the playoffs on their behalf. They're not going to be the team that's like, oh, all right, we're going to play spoiler this week, beat Washington, and let Dallas make it in. Also, along with that, you got a Philly team who is currently 4-10. If they win, that'll bring them to 5-10, which will significantly raise their draft pick. They lose, the draft pick stays low. So, I'm thinking that Dallas goes out, takes care of business, beats the Giants, but Philly loses to Washington, whether it be on purpose or not, and Washington gets that last playoff spot. AFC is pretty much taken care of as far as the top seeds are concerned. It's a pretty big race. They have a whole bunch of teams that are jumbled up at 10-5 fighting for spots. I really don't know how that plays out. I'm thinking one of them teams in the AFC North, I believe it is. Maybe it's the AFC East. Whatever it is, where Pittsburgh and Cleveland and Baltimore and Cincinnati, I think one of those teams gets left out. I think that it happens to be the Browns. I think that they lose this week after they just lost to the Jets and they lose that playoff spot and the Colts slide in. But as far as the rest of the playoffs is concerned,
make the playoffs.
I like – go ahead. I don't, but I think that they're going to have a lot to grow off of. Them receivers being gone for COVID hurt them last week, and I think that Baker's going to come out and try to do more this week just because he turned the ball over a lot last week. He fumbled the ball a lot last week. But I think this week he comes out and he presses too much and throws interceptions. And I don't even know who they play this week, honestly.
Browns play the Steelers.
I think that he just doesn't. There it is then. They're losing. That's an L. They're losing. If Pittsburgh has anything to do about them not making the playoffs, it's for sure going to happen. And Pittsburgh lost 3 straight games. Like, do you not think that Pittsburgh is about to come out with their guns blazing? Like, nigga, no, we got to show everybody that we are still who we say we are. Like, they're going to be Cleveland.
Who we play this week, man? Some bullshit. No.
Y'all in trouble. Jared Goff with the broken thumb. Y'all was the. I'll give you this, bro. Y'all niggas played way better than I thought y'all was going to play this year. If somebody would have told me that the Rams' shitty-ass roster was going to have a better year than my Cowboys, I'd be like, put some money up. But they damn sure did. Not only did they beat us head-to-head, but them niggas had a better record than us, like, significantly better.
Man. We are supposed to be in the playoffs this year.
You said what?
We ain't have... That's what I mean. After dropped
not
that
on
game
paper,
to the
but
Jets.
I guess
that
after the way y'all played this
beat,
year, y'all that defense is
too,
real.
To the we get beat by last week, Seahawks. Like, come on, man.
Mm-hmm. That Seahawks game was cool,
oh, yeah,
but I feel like that Jets loss really
game
hurt
a couple
y'all
weeks ago.
Like, a lot.
You got to be better than damn 49ers after Thanksgiving, that week, the weekend of Thanksgiving, bro.
Oh, that sucks.
I still think.
So who you who you got for your MVP?
They're gonna give it to Mahomes. He only threw one pick, right?
Nah, Mahomes threw.
Oh yeah, it's over for him. Then.
Three picks in just a Miami game alone, and then threw I think two picks after that or some shit like that. Yeah, but Mahomes hasn't been having his games to where you know his stats be
and
out
Rogers
of this world.
They've
been beating
four,
teams,
right?
But he ain't been. He hasn't been Mahomes. And like, look, yeah, exactly. I think he pretty much got it wrapped up. But if you had to pick right now, Super Bowl, who you got in the
I'm
Super Bowl?
I'm gonna say the Chiefs for sure. And then I'm gonna go Saints and Nah. I'm going Packers and Chiefs.
That's exactly what I was going. I'm going Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes. I would have liked the Saints, but Drew Brees has not been Drew Brees this year.
Yeah,
and they're going to have home field advantage. I think it's going to be very hard for people to come up through Lambeau in the wintertime and beat them boys. You saw how crazy it was yesterday with all that snow. So, yeah, I can't see many teams going up in a Lambeau and beating them in them type of conditions. They had to play against somebody like a Tennessee that just smashed mouth the ball the whole game, then yeah, but they coming up, they're going to be playing against teams that like to air it out, and you ain't going to be able to do too much of that out there. Like I don't know. I'm hoping that we get to see another Rodgers-Brady matchup this time in the playoffs. I'm hoping we get to see that. But I can't even think Brady prevail. I can't see Brady prevailing.
The Chiefs, bro.
Pittsburgh or the Colts, just because they both have stout defenses. But Pittsburgh don't got enough offense, and neither does the Colts. So it's going to be – they're going to have to get into that Tennessee bag from last year, where teams are keeping Mahomes off the field.
It's pounding that thing.
For sure. But teams are starting to see how to adjust their offense now, though. I watched last week against the Falcons. The Falcons almost beat them last week. And the Falcons had a hell of a game plan. And a week before that, I can't remember who they played, but whoever it was, they had the same similar game plan. And I'm like, okay, teams are starting to see how to
adjust
to this a little bit.
Whatever they're doing that's been given.
I don't know, man.
Mahomes
is a different type of guy.
Something different. He just different.
I agree. So yeah, I don't know.
Easily.
I think that they win.
Yeah, I'm thinking
they
so
win
too.
Their games by at least 10 points. So, yeah, I like Mahomes and Rodgers in the Super Bowl. Not going to say who I pick yet. We'll wait till the Super Bowl actually gets here to do those. But, yeah, man, best moments of 2020. Mm-hmm. You have any moments that really stand out to you as far as the best moments of 2020?
For real, bro. I don't know. Sports just really didn't hit me this year how they usually do, for real. Yeah, like all the games was just
– it was
like
weird.
We finished college basketball season coming in. Like, it just – I don't know. I don't
– Yeah, we didn't get March Madness.
I can't really think of
that
nothing.
Hurt.
I mean, I know your team won a championship, so I know that's one of your best moments of 2020, but – Other than that, bro, I really don't know, bro.
I think if I had to pick three moments, I guess that were significant, First would be Mahomes winning his Super Bowl. He's the first black quarterback to win an MVP and a Super Bowl. And that shit happened in our era. So that's some shit that we're going to be able to tell.
Man, I didn't know that.
Yes, the first black quarterback to ever win the Super Bowl and an MVP. He's only the third black quarterback, period, to win a Super Bowl. Doug Williams won, Russell Wilson won, and then Mahomes. So it ain't been many that's gotten there. And he's got there, won the MVP and won the Super Bowl. So that's huge. Obviously, my Lakers winning the first championship in 10 years. It made it that much sweeter that it happened on the 10-year anniversary of the last time we won, which was when Kobe won his final ring. And with us losing him this year, I think that that meant a lot to every Laker fan across the nation. So that was huge. And I guess, man, my last most memorable moment or best moment for me in 2020 was seeing Mike Tyson get back in the ring, dog. Regardless of what the circumstances were, I know that it wasn't like typical Mike Tyson fashion, but we got to see Mike back in the ring, and he still showed that he packed that power. And the funniest shit ever was after the fight, watching Roy Jones curl up and hug his ribs. Like, he was hurting. Like, he was hurting. Like, watching that end of that fight, he couldn't breathe. And then once he finally moved his hands from hugging his ribs, you could see all of the red marks. Like, Mike still got a little bit in the tank to where he was showing, like, nigga, anybody that wants to get in the ring with him got to have some screws loose, period. But, yeah, that was for sure my top three moments of 2020, man. And I pray and hope that everybody makes it, everybody that's listening to this makes it into the new year, makes it into 2021. I hope that 2021 is better for everybody than 2020 was, because I know that shit was crazy for me. I was able to welcome in a son, so that was a blessing. But outside of that, this shit was a very stressful and crazy year. But
Besides,
yeah, man, anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
My dog's name, man. For real.
I'm looking to see Steph have some more games like he had, 30 plus points. I'm sure it'll happen. But yeah, man, happy new year to everybody that's listening. I know it ain't the new year yet by the time we release, but I'm praying y'all make it into the new year safely. Try to, man, y'all stay safe out here with this all this COVID shit going on. Make sure y'all's new year don't get too reckless, too wild, too rowdy. But yeah, man, signing